God's word, amen. And let's just worship the Lord for a little bit, amen. Just lift your hands. Let's prepare our hearts. I believe God has got a word for you this morning. I believe that this morning you didn't come here by mistake. I believe that you came here by divine appointment. I believe that the Lord brought you here this morning because He wants to set you apart and He wants to speak to you. But sometimes we can be so distracted by the worries of life. We can be so distracted by the trials that are hitting us that sometimes our mind can be a little cloudy. And so sometimes it takes for us to just worship the Lord for a little bit before we get into God's word. And so that's what I want you to do with me this morning. If you'll just close your eyes with me, I promise if you close your eyes, nobody's going to sucker punch you. Amen. You're all right. You're in a safe place. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been delivered. Amen. We've been saved. So just close your eyes and lift your hands. Amen. Worship the Lord with me for a few moments. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, sing something special for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. We worship you.
Erased it. We should have died. rotted in the prison, but he set us free. For that we thank him. For that we're grateful. Come on, if you're grateful, give him a clap offering. Give him a clap offering. Praise, and we give you honor in this place because nobody else deserves it but you. Lord, we set you on high. We set you on the throne of our lives, on the throne of our hearts. That's why we're here this morning, God. We've come here, God, for you. For this is the Lord's day. Sunday, the day our Lord resurrected from the grave. Death could not hold you down. And you are our Lord and Savior. Even though we have strayed, God, your word says you're married to the backslider. And even though we strayed, Lord, you have brought us back. Like the prodigal son. Like the father of the prodigal son, you were waiting. You were waiting for us. And you have received us with arms wide open. We thank you, Jesus. And as a church, as we play the role of the eldest son, Lord, let us not be bitter, but let us get better. Let us not shun the prodigal son and our brother and sister, but let us love them. Embrace them and welcome them. They've never stopped being family. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ runs strong. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Jesus. I don't know, but I feel in my spirit this morning that there's somebody that needs to hear this. You may have walked away from God, but he never walked away from you. He's been like a monkey on your back. I used to tell my mom, "Mom, you're like a monkey on my back. Just let me party the way I want to party." And the Holy Spirit's like a monkey on our back. He never leaves us. Even when we want to try to do our own thing, he's there constantly convicting us. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe upon him shall not perish, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning he wants to give you that everlasting life. So if you're a backslider, I got good news for you. He welcomes you back. This is your first time in a church. This is your first time hearing this message. I got good news for you. He loves you. He loves you. And he has a special place for you. He says, "In my house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. But it is so. And I don't lie. I got a special place for you in heaven and on earth. And that place is in the will of God, in his house. And you're here this morning. Can you agree with me? If you agree with me, say amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord some praise in this morning. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, don't bother me. Don't talk to me. God's going to speak to me." Say, "Neighbor, God's going to speak to you." Say, "Neighbor, listen up." Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord some praise. Amen. Amen. If you grab your Bibles with me, amen, as the worship team goes ahead. takes their seat. Amen. Thank you. What a beautiful job. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Brother Sean. Amen. I didn't know you were going to be up here today. Amen. Soldier right there. Amen. He was under the weather. Amen. But amen. God healed him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he's our tonsils of gold.
Yeah.
So, amen. God did a miracle for Victor Arch Grand Perry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But song, and not to say all the singers, they do beautiful, amen, don't they? Amen. All our singers, Maria, Monica, amen. All the singers, amen, that come up here, amen. You guys do a great job, amen. I know that the only reason why Sean sounds good is because you make him sound good. Hello, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. And Daisy might disagree, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Psalms 19, amen, verses 1 through 4. And hold your finger there, and then we're going to jump to Romans chapter 1, amen, and read some verses there. I titled this message here this morning, Testify. Testify, amen. Can anybody testify this morning? Amen. How many know God's been a good God? And we could testify to that. Amen. So I want to share with you this morning this message, amen, that the Lord gave me, amen. Testify. Amen. Psalms chapter 19, starting in verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts. Let your word testify here this morning. Remove me to the side and use me this morning once again, simply as a vessel, simply as a funnel that you could flow through. Remove me to the side. I pray that the congregation will hear the voice behind the voice, which is your voice. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty, matchless name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me now to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Good to hear Bibles turning, pages turning.
Amen.
Good to hear Bible pages turning. It's the sound of a good church.
Yeah.
When you hear pages of the Bible turning in church, that's an indicator of a good church.
Amen.
This is why you got to bring your Bible to church.
Yes.
Amen. I have my Bible on my phone, and I have my Bible on my iPad, and I read it, the Bible app. I'm on a year reading plan. But I still bring my Bible to church.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Amen. And it's a beautiful sound to hear pages turning of the Bible in the church. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, go get you one. Amen. If we had some, we would give them to you. Sometimes we have some in the back. Amen. You can feel free to grab them. Amen. They're free. We don't charge for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walmart does. Amen. We don't. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth in their wickedness. Verse 19. Since, this is the key verse here, since what may be known about God is plain. Is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly, somebody say clearly.
Clearly.
Have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So that people are without excuse. Testify. Testify. In these two portions of scriptures, we see creation testify. Testify is to bear witness. It's to give one's testimony. And in these two portions of scripture that we just read, creation is giving testimony. Through the word of God and through the writers here in the book of Romans, some say the Apostle Paul, we see that what the Apostle Paul is saying and what the psalmist is saying is that creation clearly is testifying that there's a God. The heavens testify to three things. Creation testifies to three things. And when I talk about creation, I'm talking about everything that has been made. If you've ever read the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it talks about and it gives the account of creation. And God said, let there be lights. And there was lights. God created lights. And God said, let there be teams of fish that swim in the ocean. And it was created. And God said, let the waters from the heavens above and the waters from the heavens below be separated. And there was the sky and there was the ocean. Creation. Creation testifies to three things. The first thing is that there is a God. You don't need to probably come to church. You don't need to read the Bible to understand and to know that there is a God.
Come on now.
All you need to do is look up. All you need to do is look around. All you need to do is marvel at the galaxy, marvel at the sun and the stars and the moon. And without having stepped a foot in the church or without having opened up the Bible, you'll begin to think, you'll begin to come to a conclusion, you'll begin to draw a conclusion that how was this made? This came about somehow. Creation testifies not only that there's a God, but that too, he is a big God. He's a big God. Me and Irving went to Panama. We got on a plane. I'm starting not to like planes, but we got on a plane. Because it seems like every time I get on the plane, you know, it's like I watch something on TV about a plane going down.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Come on, somebody. Huh? But as we're on that plane, you know, you begin to look out the window, and it's amazing. It is an amazing sight. I mean, I'm still trying to get over how in the world are we flying. That's complex to me. But then as I look out the window of the plane, because I steal the window seat. I didn't let Urban sit in the window. And I look out the window and I see the clouds, I see the heavens, I see the sky. And then I look out and I look down below and I see the vast ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now.
I says, Lord, don't let us go down here.
Come on.
But I start to think about the creation. And I say, my God, who can create such a marvel? Yes. Who can create such a sight?
Right.
Who can create such a world?
Yeah.
Who creates such an earth? It has to be none other than a big God. I'm here to tell you that we don't serve a small God with a little g. So stop spelling God with a little g, because he is a big God. We serve a big God. This is why he wants to do something big in your life.
Amen.
Creation testifies, thirdly, that he has made himself known.
Amen.
He has made himself known. Creation, when we look at creation, it testifies that there is a God, that there is a big God, and that he has made himself known. You know what this is called? It's called universal revelation. Universal revelation. You may say, well, Pastor, what about those, you know, those nomadic Indians or nomadic people that have never heard the preaching? They've never read a Bible. They've never seen a preaching on TV. They live out there somewhere in South America, and they've never, they're no, a nomadic people. Listen, what I can tell you is this, is that they know that there's a God. They may not know what God they're worshiping. They may not have a full understanding. But when they look up to heaven, they think the same thing that you and I, because we have the same perspective. We have the same view as they do. They look up and they see the stars. They see the moon. They see the sun. They see Jupiter and Mars. Hello, somebody. They see all those, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and all the other dippers. And I just want a single scoop from Baskin Robbins. Amen. Butter pecan, please. It is called universal revelation. It is something that every single person on the planet, every single person on the face of this planet can understand. They can look up and say, there has to be a God out there, because this just didn't get here by itself. In other words, everybody understands. This is why in Romans, the Apostle Paul said in verse 20 that people are without excuse.
That's right.
Huh? Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them.
Amen. Yes.
For since the creation of the worlds, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. In other words, he made something out of nothing. His invisible qualities, his eternal power. It took power to do something like the earth. It took power to make creation. It took power to create the sun and the stars and the moon. It took some power, and it took a divine nature. It took somebody that had a divine, a God-like nature. God has left men without an excuse to believe in him.
That's right. Amen.
Through his universal revelation. Psalm says it. Though the sky is silent, yet it speaks.
That's heavy.
Day and night, they proclaim knowledge and wisdom.
Come on.
Without even being heard.
Come on.
I love what Psalms 19:3 and 4 says. They have no speech, They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Amen. Their words to the ends of the world. What a powerful testimony they have. I mean, I've heard some powerful testimonies. Come on, somebody. Amen. Have you ever heard a powerful testimony?
Amen.
I mean, I've heard some testifonies too. They're not evangelistic, they're evangelastic. Huh? They put too much crema on the tacos, man. Huh? Come on, you know those testimonies, right?
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, man, I was on the streets, I killed 20 dudes with one fist. Huh? I smoked the whole key by myself. Huh? Evangelistic. Huh? Come on, somebody. And we're just there like, really? Huh? But I've heard some powerful testimonies. Huh? We've heard Art Blanco's testimony. Come on, somebody. Ex-hitman from the Mexican Mafia. Now an evangelist in Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. I've heard some of your testimonies. Come on, I get scared. My God. Brother Arturo's testimony, man. He tells me his testimony. He's like, yeah, bad. And I'm like, I'm just looking at him like, dude, I'm glad you're in the home. Huh?
Right.
I've tested many people. And there's some people, some people, I hear their testimonies. And you know what they remind me of? They remind me of like the MIB movie, the Men in Black movie. You go in there and you're like, and they're talking, Will Smith is talking to a guy and then all of a sudden he turns into an alien.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, in other words, I can't imagine that came from you.
Yeah.
There's some women in our church like that.
Yeah.
They tell me their testimony, I'm like, my God, I didn't know that you had that in you. Huh? I've heard some powerful testimonies, but this is the most powerful I've heard and seen.
Come on now, that's right.
The testimony of creation, the testimony of the heavens and earth. They don't speak, they don't say a word, you cannot hear them. Oh, but you marvel at their sight. You look at them and say, what a powerful testimony they have.
Amen.
And as Christians, we can have the same testimony. We can have the same testimony that declares so powerfully that there is a God. We can have such a testimony that is so powerful that our testimony declares there is a God.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Get this. Without even saying a word.
Come on now.
Does your testimony, does your life, when they look at you, when people look at you, when the world looks at you, does your testimony, without you saying a word, without you updating your status on Facebook,
come on,
or Instagram,
my.
Or Twitter.
Oh my.
Or Moco Space. Does your testimony, does your story, does your life, without you opening up your mouth, does it declare that there is a powerful, not a weak,
come on,
not a wimpy,
come on,
but a powerful,
yes,
forceful,
yes,
magnificent,
yes,
omnipresent, yes, omnipotent,
yes,
God?
Yes.
Is your life, when people look at your life,
it's good. Come on now.
When people look at your life,
come on,
when they study you from afar, because when you become a Christian, you become a fish in a fishbowl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as you declare you're a Christian, you know what happened? Like Tupac. All eyes on me. In my life as a Christian until the day I die.
Oh, come on.
All right. Don't you go there. Huh? Soon as you you declare you're a Christian, soon as people see you in church, all of a sudden.
Come on.
Huh? You're like a fish in a fishbowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go, Pat. Come on. Come on.
Boo. Come on now. Right? Come on, that's what you do, right? When you go to the aquarium. Huh? And the fish just looks at you awkward. Big old eye. Huh? You know, we need to act like a fish.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
When people look at us, let them stare.
Come on now.
Let them stare. Amen. And when they test you, boom, don't flinch.
Come on now. That's right.
The problem is that they test us and we flinch. Come on, you got to be a good fish. Come on now. Huh? Don't flinch. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Huh? Tell you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Huh? As Christians, we can have that same testimony that declares so powerfully that there is a God who exists without even using our words. How do we do this? How do we do this? Through our testimony.
Amen.
Through our testimony.
Yes. Amen.
Our testimony meaning three things. First of all, our testimony is our lifestyle.
Amen.
Our lifestyle. Huh? I know you got your own style. You know, wrinkle suave. Huh? Right, player.
Oh,
huh? I know you got your own style. Huh? But that's not the type of style I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Your lifestyle. How you behave yourself. How you conduct yourself.
Right.
Huh? See, this is how we declare there's a God without even saying a word.
Yeah.
How is our lifestyle, number one? Two, our testimony is our life choices.
Yeah, that's right.
Our life choices. What choices do we make in life? Uh-oh. Every day you got to make choices, man. Every day. And some days choices are hard to make. Some days there's some choices that are harder to make than usual than the other days.
Yeah, that's right.
This morning you got up, which shoes do I wear? My red ones or my yellow ones?
Oh,
my black ones or my brown ones?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I had a choice on what suit to wear today. What suit do I want to wear today? What tie do I want to wear today?
Come on.
We got to make choices. Do I wear a tie today? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Every day we got to make a choice. Am I going to go to church?
Come on.
Am I going to go to work?
Oh.
Wow. Am I going to have a good attitude? Am I going to have a bad attitude? Am I going to pray? Am I not going to pray? Am I not going to read my Bible? Am I not going to read my Bible? Am I not going to fast? Am I not going to fast? Every day we got to make choices. And let me tell you, people are watching the choices you make. It's part of your testimony.
Yeah, that's right.
It's part of your lifestyle. And when you become consistent and making good choices, it becomes part of your lifestyle. It becomes part of your reputation. In other words, what people know you as. What people know you how you conduct yourself.
Amen. Yeah.
Your jacket that you wear.
Yeah.
Good.
Thirdly, what testimony is not only our lifestyle and our life choices, but it's also our life direction.
Good.
Our testimony is shown by the direction that we choose in life.
Yeah.
Huh? Because your choices will set you on a path.
That's right.
Huh? That was the word that God spoke to me that led me to salvation.
Yeah.
He said, your next decision is your destiny.
Come on, man.
That was the preaching I heard. That was the first preaching I heard that rocked my world.
Yeah.
Huh? And to interpret it in my language, the Holy Spirit, the way He interpreted it to me is your next decision. You got to make a decision whether to flush the dope or sell the dope. I never flushed dope in my BC days. In being a Christian, I've flushed a lot of dope. Guy come into the home, dope. I'm keeping it legal, man. I don't want this dope no more. Give it to me. I'm going. Let's go to the toilet bowl and we flush it. But before, I never flushed dope. And that rocked my world. Your next decision is your destiny. Did I flush the dope? No. That was a choice I made. But I kind of thank God that I didn't flush the dope. Because if it wasn't for that, maybe I would have never answered the call of God upon my life. Because my destiny became prison. But before I went to prison, I met a man by the name of Jesus who forever changed the course of my life. And even though I was in prison, guess who was there with me? My Jesus was there with me. The Word of God was there with me. And since then, I've been a changed man. I went from dealing dope to preaching hope. I went from a prisoner to the pulpit. I went from the guttermost to the uttermost. Your testimony, my friends, means your lifestyle, your life choices, and our life direction. That's what makes up your testimony. People know you by your lifestyle. They know you by the choices you make. They know you by the direction you're going. What direction are you going here this morning? Think about that. What direction is your marriage going in? What direction are you going in as an individual? Are you going in the direction of everlasting destruction? There's some people that don't even know where they're going. There's some young people that don't have no direction. They don't have no goals. They don't have no purpose. They don't have no vision. This is why we preach to them. You gotta internalize the vision. This is why we preach to them. You gotta get God's purpose for your life. You gotta get God's plan for your life. Because you have no direction. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want you to know, Christian, your behavior matters.
Right.
Your behavior matters.
Right.
Your testimony.
Yes.
It matters.
Right.
Huh? It's like in the streets, right? When I was in the gang, I had a testimony. Yeah. I had a reputation. Maybe it was my own reputation that I had in my own mind and my own thinking. But yet I had a reputation.
Yeah.
Even if it was just for me. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
That even though it was just me that thought I was all that in a bag of chips. Even though it was just me that I thought I was all that bad. Come on, somebody. I was like the Fonz on Happy Days. Right? Everybody wanted to be the Fonz on Happy Days.
Yeah, right.
Beat up everybody. But that was the reputation I had to uphold for me. So therefore, to run from a fight was a no-no. Even though I was scared. Hello, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. You've been scared too. Amen. Got into a fight, you're like, man, that dude bigger than me. Yeah. I don't know if he packing or what. But you wouldn't run because you had a reputation. Even though you had fear inside, you would still stand because you had a reputation. We had a reputation. It mattered to me. I had a testimony to uphold. As a gang we had in the neighborhood, we had a testimony to uphold. This is our neighborhood. This is our part of Oak Cliff.
Come on.
Mountain Creek side. What's up? That was the neighborhood I was in. And nobody would come into our neighborhood and try to run our neighborhood.
Come on.
I mean, they tried. But they were getting sprayed. Hello, somebody. Now, we weren't all that bad, but we did our best to hold up. Come on, somebody. Hold up our corner. Why? Because we had a reputation. Nobody runs our neighborhood but us. It was our testimony. So when I got saved, I comprehended. I connected the dots. I understood what testimony meant. It meant to hold up our reputation. And listen, if my reputation and my testimony was good, was important to me in the world, how much more is my reputation and my testimony in God should be important to me? How much more should I value the things of God? How much more should I value
yes.
how people perceive me and how people look at me?
Yeah.
Because it's not they're looking at me. I represent Christ. I'm an ambassador of God. I'm a Christian. I carry the name of Christ. See, your testimony, it matters. Your behavior matters. It matters to God. It matters to God. Are you making God look good on Monday? I know you make him look good on Sunday. Because you look good. Tell your neighbor, you look good. Tell him, you look sharp. Ooh-wee. Vaya, man. Mira, mira. Huh? You look good in a suit. Come on, somebody. Look good. Some of you ladies, we couldn't even get you in a dress. Wow. You wearing a dress. Come on, somebody. You bring your best. Come on now. It's a Sunday morning best. You know, some of you don't wear suits. Okay, praise God. But you bring your Sunday morning best, right?
Yeah.
Huh? You look good. Tell you to be look good. Huh? But it's not just how you look on Sunday.
Come on.
Uh-oh. It's not just how you sound on Sunday.
True.
But it's how you look and sound on Monday.
Yeah.
Then on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then what about Wednesday? Hump day. It's hard to get through Wednesday. Wednesday, you're in the flesh, man. You ain't got no more lunch money. The gas tank's on échale. Huh? Wifey don't cook on Wednesday. My wife does, amen. I gotta cover my head. Come on now. It ain't Taco Tuesday, amen. How do you behave? How do you look? How do you sound on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
There it is.
Oh, on Sunday you look great. On Sunday you sound good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, Pastor. Preach it. But how about the rest of the days? Your behavior matters to God.
Right.
It matters not only to God, but it matters to people.
Yeah.
It matters to people. It matters to who? All those that are.
Oh, now.
What did you say? Oh, I thought you said this. Well, what did you? Oh, well, I thought Christians don't do that.
Oh, come on, Pastor. It's true.
I thought Christians don't cuss.
Oh, no.
Come on, somebody.
There it is.
Huh? What do you listen to?
Wow.
Calm down, man. That's just you know, Lecrae. Huh? Come on now.
Come on now.
Your testimony matters to God, it matters to people, and it matters to the church.
Yeah.
It matters to the people. Why? Because there's a lot of lost people, and they're looking to you. You don't know what eyes are upon you. You don't know what sinner is watching you. They don't speak to you. They don't acknowledge you, but they're watching you. They're watching you. They're following you on Facebook. They're following you on Instagram. They're looking at what you're posting. They're looking at how you're speaking. They're seeing how you get mad, how you get sad, how you're up, how you're down, what you do, what you don't do.
Come on. That's right, Evie.
Come on.
And they're looking towards the Christian.
That's right, amen.
Let me see if God can do it for them.
Yeah, come on.
Because if God can do it for them, they don't look better than me.
Hey, now, come on. Oh, come on.
So I know they can do it, and I could probably do it too. But if they see us mess up.
That's right.
If they see us trip up.
That's right.
They're like, oh, See, I told you.
Yeah, there it is.
I knew it. Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. I knew it. They're just a bunch of lip service. Our testimony matters.
Yes.
It matters to God, and it matters to people.
Yes.
And it matters to the church.
Yes, it does.
It matters to the church.
Right.
Because you represent V-O-G-P.
Come on.
Oh, you didn't know a new sign language. V-O-G-P.
Come on.
¿Y qué? Por vida. It matters to the church. You represent the church.
Right.
And if you leave this church and join another church, don't let the door hit you.
Well,
the good Lord. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. Rewind. I'm sorry. I meant to say, if you leave this church and go to that another church, guess what? You represent that church.
Yeah. Right.
And maybe that church doesn't care how it's represented. Maybe that church don't care, you know, how the people live their lifestyle.
Come on.
But as for me and my house,
yeah.
I said, as for me and my house,
yeah.
Is this your house?
Yeah.
Is this your house?
Yeah.
We will serve the Lord with a fear in our heart, with a trembling in our spirit. We will fear the word of God, and we will honor the word of God above. It matters to the church. Creation's testimony is so powerful. It reached the writer of the song Amazing Grace. You know that song? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That song. The person who wrote that song, I forgot his name. But I know his testimony.
Come on.
And the way he got saved is that he was a drunkard.
Yep.
He was a drunkard. He was an alcoholic.
Come on.
Hope for some of you alcoholics out there.
Come on.
He was an alcoholic. And you know, he was on a ship.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I think he was the captain of the ship.
Yep.
And on that ship, while he was on the ocean, a big storm hits.
My God.
A big storm hits. Creation thundered.
Wow.
Rained. Roared. And you know what he did? He cried out to God.
Yeah.
He said, God, this ship's going to go down. But if you save me and you spare my life, I promise I'll serve you the rest of the days of my life. And I won't be an alcoholic no more. I won't drink no more. But I will serve you the rest of the days of my life. And what did God do? God answered that prayer. Why? Because it was creation. It was creation that testified to that man on that day and say, it's time to get right or get left. And from that day on, he got saved.
Amen.
Through creation's testimony.
That's right. Wow.
Another guy by the name of Martin Luther.
Come on now.
Martin Luther, not King. Martin Luther. He was the great reformer.
That's right.
Who started off reforming the church.
Yeah.
Martin Luther. He's the guy that Martin Luther King derived his name from.
Yeah.
Martin Luther, his story is that he was walking in the woods one day, and it was late, and all of a sudden he got caught in a storm. There's something about a storm that'll change your life. This is why when the storm starts raging, you know, I can't say don't trip because you're gonna trip. But it's okay, because that storm might turn into a rainbow.
Amen.
That storm has a potential to change your life around.
Yeah.
So if you're in a storm right now, don't fret. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
But Martin Luther, when he got caught in that storm, there was thundering everywhere going on. And all of a sudden, he did the same thing that the writer of Amazing Grace did. He looked up to God and said, God, only if you would let me survive this storm, I promise I will serve you the best that I can, and I will be your servant. deserve it. And guess what? He got saved that day.
Amen.
See, your lifestyle as a Christian has the potential to bring others to the cross. But how potent is that potential? How potent is your testimony? How potent is your testimony? How potent is the life that you live? How powerful is the gospel within you? How powerful is the word in you? Let me tell you something. The word of God is so powerful, and God is so powerful that he will break sin in your life. He will break addiction in your life. He will break strongholds in your life. He will break besetting sin in your life. He will break unhealthy habits. He'll break all those things that are holding you back. He'll break them. And you know, as God breaks them, you know what he's doing? He's chiseling away. He's shaping and molding you. And he's making you into a beautiful creation that will testify to the world without even using words. Somebody once said this: preach the gospel and use words if you have to. And use words if you have to. You see, creation's testimony is so powerful. Why? Because it is so common sense. It is so common sense. Right? Creation is so common sense. In other words, how could this creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, how can this, what do you mean, scientists? What do you mean this came from a big bang? Theory?
Come on.
Theory?
Really? Come on.
You didn't even say from a Big Bang Theory. I wish I could break something right now.
Come on, man.
I'm about to break this cup, man.
Uh-oh.
Watch out. Get away. Don't do it. I think I should. Drink some of this so I can break it. Angel will buy me a new one. Chug. Man, wait, you come on water, bro.
Don't break it, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
No, I want to break it because I'm going to show you what the scientists and what the smart people say how the earth got here and the galaxies got here. This is how they said it got here. I hope you don't get cut me, huh? Should I do it or should I not do it? You guys are crazy, man. What do you think will happen if I drop this? Huh? Angels, get ready. Oh, so you mean if I drop this, you mean that something more beautiful is not going to come out of it? Huh? Is that what you're saying? Or maybe if I drop this, I'm going to get like a BMW. Right? Isn't that what Big Bang Theory tells us? That a bang can create something so beautiful. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get cut. Some of you are like, I got your attention. And I fed Josh's thirst. Amen. Josh. Huh? That's what the Big Bang Theory says. Huh? Listen. Creation. When you look at creation, you know what you got to think? This is none other but than the work of an intelligent designer. When you look at creation, you look and say, this is no other than the work of an intelligence. My God ain't dumb. An intelligence designer. I got an iPhone. I got an iPad. There's another iPhone that's recording me right here. Who created them? Who you know? Who? What's his name? Steve Jobs. Right? He's dead now, right? But he's known for creating the iPhone. And he was praised as such a smart guy. And he sold so many iPhones and iPads, right? Because he was known for being such a smart guy because he created the iPhone. Our God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And everything in it. In other words, you look to creation and you say, it's common sense, man, that this didn't come from a Big Bang theory. It's common sense that the creation came from an intelligent designer. Do you know that if the earth was any closer to the sun, we would burn up? And if we were any farther from the sun, we would freeze up.
That's right.
Scientists say that.
Yeah, sure.
But God pitched us on the perfect axis. As an intelligent designer that he is. Common sense tells us, man, there is a big, smart, omniscient, omnipotent God out there. And the heavens declare his glory. They testify of his goodness. They testify of his omniscient. They testify of how smart he is, how good he is. They testify. See, when we keep a good testimony with God and for God, we agree with his common sense revelation. In other words, let me finish. When we keep a good testimony by just using common sense tells us, look, homosexuality is wrong. Common sense. They don't come together, man. I'm sorry, this ain't, sex education class. But this is church. And we talk about sex in church. Because the world talks about it. Common sense tells us that homosexuality, man, it just don't go together. But a man and a woman do. And they have babies. Natural. It produces. A woman and a woman can't. A man and a man can't. Common sense. It's the simple stuff. Common sense tells us that adultery is wrong. Common sense says if you sleep with another man's wife, he's gonna get a shotgun and blow your head off. Sense, man. Right? Common sense. Common sense tells us that abortion is murder. Common sense. How are you gonna take a baby? No matter how many months it is, and kill it. Common sense. Common sense. What do you mean? It's not murder until it's 1 year old. What do you mean? What do you mean? So then, because you say so? We live in a wicked society. We live in a society that you call, it's full of relativism. That means there's no absolute truth. But the word is full of the truth. It's full of the truth. We hold the truth. But we just can't hold the truth. We gotta live the truth. Because when we live the truth, we testify with God.
Yeah.
Let all men be liars, but let God be true.
Amen.
Common sense tells us that tattoos are not right.
Come on,
if you have a tattoo, I hope it's because it was in your BC days.
Yeah.
But don't get no more new ones. You can't do nothing about it. You don't got to go erase them. Come on, somebody. Amen. But if you got like a girl that doesn't have some clothes on, maybe you want to cover her up. Amen. Just for courtesy. Let me tell you why common sense says not to. Because if God wanted you with a mark on your body, he would have gave you a mark on your body. Just like he gave your birthmark. The only main person God marked was Cain.
That's right, amen.
And the reason why is because he was a murderer. And God didn't want nobody to murder him with revenge. So he said, I'm going to put a mark on Cain. And you're the only one going to look dumb with a mark on your forehead. I'm not saying you got tattoos to look dumb. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, I'm just making a point, common sense. Common sense. There's a lot of things that God has made clear to us, church.
Right, amen.
But remember, the reason why we hear stuff like this and we say, that's not right. No, that's not true. That's not right. You know what? It's because of Romans says, because we want to suppress the truth because of our wickedness and our evilness. That's what Romans says. Let me read it again. In verse 19, Romans 1, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. But verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Hold on. You know what that means? That means people look to heaven and they know that God had to make this, but they look down and they refuse to look up and think about God because they know they're not living right. So they want to ignore God, and this is the non-believer, and this is the non-Christian, and the non-church goer, and this is the one that doesn't want to hear about God because they know that God won't settle for their mess. They know that God won't settle for how they're living their life, and so they want to push God out. They want to push the word of God out. They want to push the message out. But listen, it is common sense. It doesn't matter what you say. Just because you say there is no God, it doesn't mean that God ceased to exist. Testify. Creation testifies without saying a word. But can we testify without saying a word? I want you to stand to your feet. As believers, God wants us to have good testimonies. He wants us to have good testimonies in our world. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says about a man of God, it says, he must have a good report with outsiders. He must have a good report with outsiders, people from the world, so that he will not fall into the disgrace and into the devil's trap. You know, when we mess up our testimony, we fall into a trap, the Bible says. A trap. And the outsiders, this is where the non-believer says, I got you. I thought Christians are not supposed to smoke. I thought Christians are not supposed to lie. I thought Christians are not to smoke. And you're like, but I am a Christian. But I am a Christian. And you are a Christian. You're just a struggling Christian. And you know what happens? You begin to be a Christian under condemnation. Listen, the word is supposed to convict you. The Holy Spirit is supposed to convict you. Not all the time are you going to leave the church feeling all goo-goo, all good and goo-goo and ha-ha and yeah, praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to leave church messed up. Sometimes you got to leave this place chopped up. I mean, the message got to you.
Yes, right.
Because it's those times when you examine yourself.
Yes.
It's at those times when you go to your altar at home and you hit your knees and say, God, I got a lot of changing to do.
Yes.
God, you got a lot of work to do in my life, God. Yes. Because that word I heard today in church, man, it messed me up, God. But I know that it is true. I know that it is right. I know that what Pastor was saying was right on, God. And I just want to change because I'm tired of falling into the trap. I'm tired of feeling condemned. I want to feel free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank God that God set me free, not just on the day I got saved, But I thank God that as I continue to go to church day after day and month after month and year after year, all the struggles that I had, God began to set me free. I was like a mummy wrapped up in all kinds of linen, and the enemy had me all tied up. Oh, but when God began to set me free, he set my arms free, and he set my legs free, and I began to walk, but I still had a bunch of straps and linen on me, and I still looked like a mummy. But then he took the linen off my eyes, and I got some vision for my life, and he continued to unravel me. He continued to unravel me each day as every day got, as every day passed. When I was in the home, when I was in the church, he kept on putting sin off me. He kept on putting lust off me. He kept on putting pride off me. He kept on putting addiction off me. And I no longer look like a dummy, but I begin to look like a man of God. I begin to be a testimony. I begin to be an example for another man to follow. I'm amazed at what God has done in my life, church.
Yes.
Why do you come every Sunday? I know you don't come for me. I know you come for God. Oh, but I hear it time and time again. I love your preaching, Pastor. But if they only knew I wasn't always a preacher. People come and they hear me. I don't know why. But I know why. Because God changed my life. Changed my life. He's made me a good testimony. I'm not perfect, man. Let me tell you something. I fail, but I don't morally fail. Pastor Sonny said the road to success is paved by mistakes. He says, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I haven't fallen morally. In other words, fell into adultery or fornication or back to drug addiction or alcoholism. We don't fall. We may make mistakes in ministry. We may raise somebody up that shouldn't have been raised up. I've done that. And they create a mess in the church. But that's all right, because I probably did the same one time. Not morally, never morally. I thank God, God has kept me. I've not been backslid. I never went back to the drugs. I never went back to the alcohol. Since when I got saved 19 years ago, and until God brought me my wife, Sylvia, into my life, I did not sleep with another woman. I did not kiss another woman. The day we got married, and my pastor said, Pastor Jesse Perez, when he said, and you may now kiss the bride, I said, oh, I've been waiting for this for 7 years. There was like a big pause. I said, pucker up. Ooh. We dove in. And the crowd went, oh. That was our first kiss. Our first kiss. That's a testimony, man. To a player from the Himalaya. I'm talking about her.
She had all the guys. I'm just kidding. She wasn't like that. She wasn't. Me either. She wasn't like that.
That was a testimony, man. Huh? Keep your testimony. I valued my testimony in the church. I'm through with this, but I valued my single men, single women, people, individuals, married couples. You got to take care of your testimony in the world, at your job, in your school, and in church. You gotta keep your testimony. I valued my testimony. I didn't want to mess up. I don't want to be known as a person, as a guy in the church that was with all the girls. Because that, I've seen guys like that. I mean, they like one girl 1 week, and the next week they like another sister. And 1 year they're trying to hook up with this sister, and the next year they're trying to hook up with that sister. And messed up their whole testimony. Some guys got a testimony of having the jacket of a backslider. You may have that testimony. Take that jacket off. Yeah. He can take it off for you. Because it matters to God. And it matters to souls. And it matters to your family. matters to your pastor. How we make God look. Watch your behavior. Watch your attitude. Watch your character. The Bible says, watch yourself. Keep an eye on yourself, the Bible says. It doesn't say keep your eye on your brother or sister or your pastor. It says keep an eye on yourself. He says, and if you do, you'll save not only yourself, but your listeners too. Because you're watching your testimony. And it doesn't matter when people are looking, because you know you're living right. Careful where you go. Careful what company you keep. You got a testimony to keep. You will be accountable. You will stand before God. God's going to judge even the Christian. You think, oh, I'm going to be saved. Yeah, you're going to be saved. But the Bible says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for every deed that was done in our body. But I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah, but you're going to get a good regañada. You're going to get a good rebuke. This is why I try to rebuke you here. So that there's less rebukes up there. Come on, somebody. Huh? That you can stand before God and say, you know what, my pastor dealt with me on that, Jesus. You know what, he did, and you know I see change in your life. Right. So therefore, amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? I feel bad for churchgoers that go to churches where the pastor doesn't preach on sin. Or when he doesn't preach like this.
Yeah. Yeah,
are you hearing me?
Good.
Because they're going to get it when they get to heaven. And use words if you have to. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this morning, God. Lord, I pray for good testimonies. Good testimonies. Let us be good testimonies, God. In the world, in the church, wherever we go, we are your creation. We are your creation. Though you've given us a mouth, and you've given us a voice, let our testimony be that, Lord, that all people got to do is look at our lives, and they can see the glory of God. They can see the work of God in our life. They can see the fingerprints of God upon our lives. They can see the glorious work that you're doing in our hearts, because we came in one way, God, but you have transformed us and left us another way. And so, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would stir the body of Christ, that you would stir the church, God. Lord, let this message be sealed in our hearts. Father, Lord, we thank you because we've heard from you this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that we won't leave this place the same, but that we will be challenged to be different, to be changed, to be more like you. Today, the altars are open. Do you feel like God has spoken to your life? This is between you and God. I'm going to open up these altars. And I want you to come and let God, let the Holy Spirit, get to do what I can't do. I can't change you. But he can. His touch can impact your life. You come just a few more moments with the Lord. Let him touch your life. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Have your way. Father, in the name of Jesus. You're worth it, God. nations. They can put the verse on the screen for me. In Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, or they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Every time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. They overcame him by the blood of Jesus Christ. That never, never, ever, ever, ever loses its power. Your sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. And today you may say, I don't have a testimony. But today you can get a testimony. By allowing Jesus to wash away your sins. Even if you're a Christian and you're falling away, he can wash away your sins. And in that, you can testify that he saved you, and that he was merciful towards you, and he was graceful towards you. So if you're here today and you need to surrender your life to God, you need to be saved, you haven't given your heart to God, maybe you've been running from God, maybe you've never heard about God, maybe you've never heard the preaching of God's word like you've heard it today, but you heard the voice of God so clearly, and you want to surrender your heart to God this morning, I'm here to tell you, he's calling you. Don't ignore him. Don't be like the heathen and ignore God. You know he spoke to you this morning. You felt it in here. You felt right here. You were like, who told him my business? Nobody. I don't even know some of you. It was God's word speaking to you. And he knew what you needed to hear. And if you have that experience today, that means that God wants you to be saved. So as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, whether you're a backslider or you're going to give your life to God for the first time, I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here, you want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. God sees your hand. God bless you. God sees your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just leave your hands raised. Leave your hands raised. Leaders, I want you to go to them and pray for them. Look around. I want you to go with them and just lay hands on them. You see a hand raised, leaders, Bible study leaders, life group hosts. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But you got to believe in your heart. You got to confess it with your mouth. You got to believe that he is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins. He resurrected on the third day. And he died specially for you. And that he loves you. And that he loves you more than anything else. And that he's going to change you. And that he is God. And he's going to do a miracle in your life. Just believe it by faith. You may not see it. You may not feel it. But if you just believe it, he promises that he will save you. And he will begin that work. So I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for leaving you. For not trusting you. But today, I surrender to you. Today, I give my life to you. Today, come into my heart and become my Lord and become my Savior. I want to serve you the rest of the days of my life. Do a miracle for me and change me. Help me to become a good testimony. Help me to come to church. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, to be that man or woman of God that you called me to be. I surrender my life to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, pray for them, church. Pray for them, church. You're not going to leave this place the same. You're leaving different.